This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We get together like this is to extol the virtues of a lot of great institutions. And there are a lot of great institutions that we're talking about right here. You know, when I moved to Litchfield in 1995, I had been here years before in 1972 when I first came to this radio station the first time. Yes, as I told Sean, 50 years ago on April Fool's Day was when I first stepped into this behind this microphone. But the nice thing about this whole thing over these 50 years is I have seen nothing but growth. I mean, I've seen the population go down, but I still have seen growth in every other situation. And it's really wonderful. With the construction we've seen, everything has been great. So all three of you playing a part in that. Steve, let's start with you. What's happening in the city of Litchfield?
Thanks, John. Thanks for letting us speak today again.
You're welcome.
It's been a while, and I do look forward to the outdoor sessions. But I guess the latest thing going on with the city is we just finished our citywide cleanup and set a record. Thank God people are paying attention now. And in my newsletter last month, we pointed out that we're going to start directing citations for violations and that kind of thing. But just last week, it took us over a week to clean everything up due to the weather and the volume, but we set a record of 131 truckloads that went to the landfill.
Wow.
560 man hours. So it's not an inexpensive effort, but I think it's well worth it, and we'll have plan to do it again in the fall. And then we've got brush pickup coming up also. So,
which is coming up in next week?
Well, it was meant to be this week, but the other pickup carried over into this week. So we'll get right on it. But, you know, we have provisions for delays so and the weather. So
I was going to say, too, I thought that it was great that they did not I didn't see as many messes. I think people did take heed to that last talk.
Yeah, it's an early pickers market, and you put it out on the boulevard. Yeah, yeah, we may see some of that downtown Sunday. We don't know. It's a recycling effort.
So that's done. There are some other things that are going on, and that is, of course, in addition to the cleanup, which really did a great job, there's changes downtown. I see different businesses, storefronts filling up. See a lot of different things from the last time that we talked.
Yeah, so what the new school, new elementary school downtown, I look for the downtown values to really appreciate. And with the increased traffic, I think you're going to see several more startups. We're dealing now with a food truck ordinance. We hope to have a food truck area downtown, waiting on some grant money for that. You know, we're always hesitant to spend taxpayer money, but I think we're in line for some help there. And several other things to kind of come into the 21st century and accommodate new ideas and new entrepreneurs. But I really look for improvement in downtown with the traffic. And, I mean, it's going to be a twice-a-day parade, basically. We're going to be changing direction on some streets and put up no parking on several streets so that there's a smooth flow.
Oh, that, yeah, and that, again, as we get closer to the new school, that really, we need to educate, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, the hospital.
Yes.
You guys are experiencing a new post-pandemic situation, I guess.
Are
we there yet?
Well, the CDC is still requiring masks inside of hospitals and doctor's offices, but definitely we're seeing the front doors open, we're seeing the flowers back in, everything is, you know, as back to normal as we can get, and we have not seen a lot of COVID cases recently, so we're seeing a lot better.
That's perfect. Now, what all is happening at the hospital that we need to be know of?
Well, we have a lot of great things going on. First of all, in March 15th, we opened our brand-new wound center. So the HSHS St. Francis Wound Center is there to take care of people with chronic wounds that won't heal. We've already healed, just since March 15th, we've already healed five people. So and we have, you know, the rest are still coming. So we have all the advanced techniques. We've partnered with Healogics, which is the national leader in wound care, to provide the best possible services. So we're looking for, you know, anybody who needs wound care, we're wide open and we're ready to see you. This is something our physicians and the community asked for, so we tried to deliver.
That's perfect. Sean, I know that you got, and before we move over to Dr. Furstenow, one of the things that is most prevalent or most noticeable at the hospital is the activity. You're able to come back and visit, and that's changed a bit. That's good.
Right. Our visitor policies are back to our normal policies. You can have your normal visitors and everything, which is great. I think, you know, we were cautious at the beginning of the pandemic like everyone else, but now that we've seen all the science and where we are in the pandemic phases, we're more than comfortable with having our visitors back, and we know that people need that to heal.
Well, I know recruiting and retention of employees is huge today and a big feather in your cap. I saw the one report, HSHS among the top 150 places to collect a paycheck in the healthcare business. You don't get that by accident.
No, we were really actually not only taken aback by that, but we were really proud of that. So I think it was very nice to be recognized as one of the best places to work and in healthcare. And it really comes down to the culture that we try to establish in our hospitals. We respect our employees. We want to make sure that they're empowered to do what they need to do for their job, that they have enough staff, and that they have everything they need to do their job well, including the education. So we're continuing to push all that, and we're seeing great recruiting right now, actually. We've hired most of our jobs, very few jobs open right now. So it's really, you know, we're really going in the right direction, which is great.
That's perfect. And again, that just goes what we're talking about, the trend going positively.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Furstenow, I almost wondered if we were building a new skyscraper in town in Litchfield when I saw that big, tall crane up there. What's going on down in the construction zone?
Well, I tell you, there's quite a bit of construction in town, and I think people have noticed that. We've got our construction going on the State Street School. Our crane isn't going to arrive until the end of the month to set walls.
Okay.
That crane belongs to Environmental 6, which is cleaning up the Ameren site.
Oh, okay.
And they've brought in that big crane to deal with the work that they're doing cleaning up the site on the other side of the school property. So that's a really good thing for the community that Ameren has agreed to pay to clean up that entire site rather than just part of it. So, and then if you go out to the National Guard Armory, they're putting in a new parking lot and changing the drainage out there. So the mayor and I, we kind of laughed that we've got dump trucks going all different directions, coming and going out of Litchfield. But that's a signs of good things happening within the community. But, you know, construction's going well on State Street. Board got a good report, and yesterday they had just finished pouring the storm shelter footings. So that's pretty well underway, and they'll be starting to pour actual footings for the rest of the building. And once that gets poured, then you'll actually see the size of the building. And we're hoping to have the precast walls start to arrive on the 23rd of May. So there is some urgency on the contractor's part, weather permitting, that they'll be able to get those in here and then start constructing the building. So, you know, it's going well. Mother Nature, I mean, who would have thought that we'd be still having freeze mid-May? But, you know, it's just a crazy, crazy time of the year. But we were fortunate that they did get the site work done, too. And speaking of construction, we also, as we had talked about, the Innovation Center. So we did get the language change that needed to happen, that Litchfield School District now is the fiscal agent of the project. So it's full speed ahead with that project as well. So we've got an awful lot of things coming over the summer with design of that facility, hope to get that out to bid this fall.
Well, I know it's tough when you lose someone like a Mike Fleming from a school board. It's like having a board member and a high-dollar financial consultant with obviously the depth of knowledge of finances, economic development. But, boy, a heck of a replacement hitter when you bring in Jim Krajewski as a, if I'm saying it right, as the new board member, because he obviously comes from the financial realm as well. I know many people have had dealings with him in that front retirement, what have you.
Yeah, it was one of those unfortunate things for Mike in terms of changing the law with these economic statement of economic interest forms. That just kind of fell out of the sky with the changes on that. And, you know, we're not the only board that will experience some of that, that there are other boards facing the same dilemma from board members in terms of that statement of economic interest. As I stated, we had six candidates that did go through the application process, and the board interviewed all of the candidates that did apply. And then Mr. Growski was selected, and we're grateful that he's accepted the position, and he will be on board until next April, when then he'll make the decision with the other board members that are up as to whether he wants to continue on the board or not.
Making our circle here, Steve. What's happening around the lake? I know that, of course, the new subdivision is there. Water lines, I think, are being run or done. Anything to report on any other things going on around there?
Well, construction on two homes is being done right now.
Okay.
And we're encountering some issues with the terrain and making sure that the septic systems are conforming to our needs so that there's no runoff into the lake. And Montgomery County Board of Health has been very helpful in that. And I think when the lake starts filling up again this summer with patrons, they're going to see that construction, and we're going to move on to lease several other lots. We've also enlisted the help of an agent in St. Louis to push the sales of those leases. So we're going to see a lot more activity out there. And that whole project, I think I explained before, it's supposed to support the lake operations and the lake sustainability, as well as replace some needed water lines out there. So none of that is taxpayer money. And the lease payments will go towards that effort from now and into the future as those 40-plus lots are sold. So that activity is going on. We have a new lake superintendent now that has a lot of experience in bass fishing and fishing and lake use, and I think he's going to bring a little different approach to that area, putting in some fish nests and having tournaments and that kind of thing. So there'll be some new things going on at the lake. And one thing I wanted to add to Dr. Fersenow's comments on what's happening with the Innovation Center is that a couple of things that may, for education-wise, it'll lead to possible future employment is the Lincoln Land is going to be having an extension of their truck driving school out of Springfield in Litchfield.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a, $2.5 million attempt, and they've applied for a $2 million grant. So, but it's going to happen whether they get the grant or not. So we found that, for instance, linemen can't get a lineman's job if they don't have that CDL, and there's a real shortage of truck drivers. So that'll help. Plus, through the high school, our fire department paramedics are going to be teaching EMT classes.
Oh, really?
Monday through Friday from 1:30 to 3:15. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. And we're still working on that being recognized as part of the education towards a paramedic license, which will be very beneficial not only to the person in that position, but to the communities, because there's a real shortage of of first responders, and I think Jim can speak to that too, whether they've got problems in the ER or that kind of thing, that sometimes it's hard finding somebody to drive an ambulance. Mm-hmm. So that's new, and there should be some announcements coming out soon, and we may have some dignitaries in Litchfield making those announcements.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I know the weather's had the boating off to a slow start. There was a pretty spirited discussion about wake boating earlier in the year. Any new developments on that front? I understood it was a matter of something, I guess, to study the impact erosion comes into the conversation, what have you.
Well, there are several detrimental effects from the use of those wake boats. There's a stirring up of the sediment in the lake, which increases the turbidity and makes it more expensive to treat the water for our drinking purposes. There's lake erosion, which people came with studies done that it didn't cause that much erosion. You know, when you see it, you have to think it does. But basically, we came to the conclusion that we are going to allow them to be on the lake, but not used to the extreme. And they will be ticketed if there is excessive wakeage or you know, any other misuse that is seen. And we're going to give it at least this season to test it out before we write an ordinance. But I don't think it'll ever come to the point where we don't allow them. We just may not allow them to be used to the extreme.
What we have, I remember years and years ago, there used to be the boat races on the lake. Of course, that's no more. That's part of the problem, I guess, why they went away. But on the other hand, you mentioned the new lake supervisor who has experience in bass fishing. Do you see a bass tournament or something like that?
I see that, and maybe catfish tournaments are getting very popular now, too. A lot of people following that. Mm-hmm. So I think Terry Hancock will be very instrumental in getting that done on a seasonal, regular basis. So he's still getting his feet wet and trying to learn the operation, but he spent 40 years in our sewer treatment plant and has been a city employee previously until we jobbed that out to a couple other companies, and he worked for those companies. But came time for him to retire from that, and he's not wanting to just stay home, and he likes the lake operation, and he's looking forward to improving facilities out there.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Jim, I saw some exciting opportunities for the youth to volunteer out there. I know they have to rack up some of those hours in the community, and some pretty exciting opportunities over there at the hospital.
Absolutely. So we had to pause our junior volunteer program during the COVID to the 2 years of the pandemic, but we decided to bring it back this year. We, you know, just like everyone else, the junior volunteers can wear masks and everything that we do. So we wanted to bring that back. It's a great opportunity for our high school students to really get to know not only the healthcare field, but also to do their community service while they're there. And it helps us out a lot too. So we really appreciate their help. And we've actually had several people who are in that program that we ended up giving scholarships to later that wanted to go into healthcare because they kind of saw what it looked like in person. So it's a great opportunity for them. Love it.
That's wonderful. Dr. Furstenow, we have went through our period of time of distance learning. We went through our period of time of maybe home, maybe away. Where are we sitting right now with regard to that?
Well, I think that ultimately, I think, we've been able to finish the year. I think things have trended downward, and the school has seen that as well. And the good thing is, this time of year, it's really important for this class, who really started the COVID situation when they lost March, and then last year was kind of a mess, and this year was getting back towards normal. We've got prom this week coming for this senior class, and then we have our senior awards banquet tonight. Matter of fact, that'll be in person. And then graduation ceremony. We graduated last year outside, but we were able to provide that. But that's our exciting time of the year. It was a culmination of many of our students have been in the system since preschool through senior year in Litchfield. So, we're hoping that's behind us. We did take advantage of using e-learning days for snow days, that we have five of those days that we can use. And then we're not adding days on at the end of the school year, which is nice. Students are done May 20th, the same night that we graduate May 20th. So, you know, there were some things that we can take away in terms of from this situation with flexible scheduling, making that available to students if necessary. I think our technology has gotten better in terms of use of technology and use of educational programming. You always have that thought in the back of your mind, what if, but we're not planning, that we're going to have to go back to that. But most definitely we'll continue it for e-learning or students that may need homebound instruction, that they can pick that up virtually. It's not all a bad thing. To be able to provide that type of opportunity for students in select circumstances.
Right. Well, we know how to do it now, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back here in just a minute. Back here with Litchfield Mayor Steve Doherty, with St. Francis Hospital Administrator Jim Tempe, and Dr. Greg Firstnow for the Litchfield School District. Mayor Doherty, it's so hard for me to say that. I'm sorry.
Call me Steve.
Call you Steve. I'll everybody
else. There are other names too. But, yeah.
Steve, a couple of things that have occurred over the last couple of years that I think have been very exciting. One, of course, is finally getting the new library built, which is wonderful, at the south end of town, and then the wonderful usage of the old library. The Carnegie building now is a hub of activity beyond the library with the tourism and more, right?
Yes, I think I mentioned before that I formed a committee of citizens to talk about how they wanted the library, Carnegie building, to be used. And I think I had about 30 civilians on the committee, and we met two or three, four times, and separated into groups and have had different interactions. But the majority of the comments were they want it open to the public. They want the public to be able to enter the building and use it for public purposes. So we have contracted with the Chamber of Commerce, and they are on the second floor. You know, there's a basement, then a main floor, and a third floor. So they're on the second floor along with our tourism office. We've completely remodeled and put in space dividers, doors, windows, that kind of thing, to make them independent of each other with a common lobby. And we're going to be using it for public access all the time. Matter of fact, we've got a meet and greet with a senatorial candidate that's new to the area because of redistricting on Monday. Mm-hmm. And Steve McClure will be here. Okay. And I met him in Jerseyville at an opening that they had there. And I agree with many of his bills and stances on politics. So I'm not pushing any political party or anything, but I think he needs to see who he's representing, and those people need to meet him too. So anyway, he'll be here Monday morning, 10 o'clock. It is open to the public. Come in, say hi. He'll probably say a few words, and it'll be done. But it's exciting. We've applied also for a grant specific to downtown improvement that would allow us to remodel the third floor and maybe the basement a little bit. Right now there are no restroom facilities on the third floor, even though we do have elevator, that kind of thing. But it would allow for that and other improvements, as well as across the street where we took down a building that was falling down. We're looking into maybe making that a food truck court, you know, with downtown outdoor dining and that type of thing. Ooh. But there has to be plumbing facilities and all that. But not using taxpayer dollars, at least local dollars. But it looks people that are used to going to the old Carnegie Library will not believe the difference that was made by dividing it up into offices and that kind of thing.
I'll look forward to going in there.
Yeah, yeah, be there.
Well, Jim, National Nurses Week is coming up next week.
It's this week.
And that's this week. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm looking out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
My peripheral vision. If you've ever seen me drive, it's like when I was in a demo derby once. I lasted about 7.5 seconds. It was like a really good. So National Nurses Week this week. Obviously, if there's anybody you have to give a tip of the cap to, it's them. They have they've been through a lot in the psychological toll of the last 2 years. That doesn't just go away overnight.
No, it doesn't. And we, you know, anything we can do as a community, or not just as a hospital, but as a community to support our caregivers is really important, because those are the people that are there when you need them the most. And I think we saw that during the pandemic. These ladies and gentlemen were there for the community. They all still came to work, even no matter how bad it was with the pandemic. And so, you know, it's just an extra celebration this year. So we're celebrating Nurses Week this week. We're so proud of all of our nursing staff. And next week we celebrate Hospital Week. So, and that's where we'll celebrate all of our colleagues that work in every function in the hospital. But we always give nurses, because they are the largest number of our employees too, we give them a special nod for their own week, which is great.
I appreciate you letting me know, because I was going to put the card in the mail on Monday. So.
Oh, good. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll let them know you thought of them.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and then I just to talk about everything coming from the legislature, moving to Dr. First now. Last year was a dizzying pace, all of the education-related bills. You know, it was once Mike Madigan went away, the cats came out and played, and they just dumped incredible amounts of legislation. Kind of changing the rule book a little bit. That pace slowed a little bit in this session. Have you caught up to all of the changes that they've made to curriculum and long-term goals?
Well, I think we're still kind of, it's like any year that we have, once the session ends, then you have to sift through the remnants of what came out and what did and didn't. And then you start to look at that, and then we belong to the School Board Association, the Illinois Administrators Association, and then the school law attorneys. Then we'll start to comb through things, and then eventually make the recommendations in terms of what schools need to do, and what opportunities or choices that they have at the local level. And, you know, that's really where we're at, you know, with what transpired. So we're in the process of reviewing that. You know, it's easy to, you know, pass legislation or make laws, right? I mean, you just sit up there and you think this would be a great idea, and then they, decide that's good for everybody, right? And then it gets passed, and then it gets sifted out. And, that's kind of where we are. I think, you know, we talk about this too. It was Nurses Week. Our nurses did a yeoman's job for getting us in school, as well as our teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week this week also. Mm-hmm. You know, what Jim, to echo off of Jim, the hospitals, they went to work. Mm-hmm. School districts went to work, and, we did our jobs, whether it be caring for patients or teaching students, right? And that's what we do. You know, and it's just one more thing that we have to look at. I'll tell you, in the years, I did see a graphic. Somebody made reference to this, that at one point in time, the Illinois school code was maybe 2 inches thick. Well, now it's multiple inches. So, you know, it's just one of those things, Sean. We just continue to, it doesn't cease to amaze me. I mean, it just continues to happen until the legislators fix it themselves and say enough is enough.
A moment of silence, please, for the many trees killed by the General Assembly. in the name of education. Well, back to you, John.
We just planted more trees.
Yes.
It was Arbor Day.
Oh. Amen. Amen right. to that.
That is true. One of the things that we notice as we're driving around and all over mid-Illinois, we see all this stuff going on. Not the least of which, there's always a lot of activity across that Route 16 corridor. And right along I-55 and Route 16 is a wonderful big industrial park right across the road. What's the word? Any progress? What's happening in that regard?
We've received tentative positive news about that from the state.
I didn't tell you ahead of time I was going to do this. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We're not able to get too deep into it. But the forced gas line to finish the park will be a reality this year. And I was at a ball game with the president of Ameren and reminded him of our shortfall. And asked him to tighten his belt a bit, but that would be the third time I attempted to talk to him. So we'll see what happens. But that will get done. And in regards to Ameren's cleanup, I thanked him for that and kind of dug to see what that project was costing, because I know it's several million dollars. But I was told and surprised to hear that if it's approved by IEPA, they qualify for full reimbursement.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, they have to make the best effort to get it done and done properly in order to get the state to step in. So I feel confident that the safety of the school kids and teachers in that new elementary school is protected.
Well, I talk about the hospitality industry. It seems like there's been a big bounce back. The restaurants have been busy. I was in the other day over at Mavericks and talking about the traffic they've seen at off-peak times. Yeah. And I imagine you not only see that on the Litchfield Coffers side, but maybe a few more people in your theater. I know that's the way I operated. I'd be either heading to Springfield or heading to St. Louis, and I kind of do a twin bill, hit a local restaurant and hit the theater. And then,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Sean,
seems like a little synergy
your
there.
Support, yes. Well, I have to applaud the local restaurateurs that lasted through the pandemic, and they tried several different ways. They brought in dry goods that would entitle them to stay open when the governor was trying to shut everybody down. They went out on their parking lots in the wind and the rain. Mm-hmm. That worked sometimes, but it did keep them in operation, kept their employees employed, and they're. From what I've heard, there's been very little turnover in the full-service restaurant area, let's put it that way. I think you're still going to get the turnover in the fast food. But that, and as regards to the movies, it depends on the product. I'm still in a slow bleed, and I can handle that for a while, but the film industry, and John, I keep you abreast of what's happening there. They are finally coming back to the point where they realize there has to be a window between a major release and a streaming or a DVD, and where it used to be 90 days, I think we're gonna settle at 45, which is, I think, sustainable. But there's some good stuff coming.
Seems like people are kind of cutting back finally. I think the Netflix earnings report and a big drop off in their numbers. People are finally saying, okay, I can't have the cost is going up.
Exactly.
I can't have five or six streams. I can't watch everything. So people, it seems like they're making their decisions and whittling that down a little bit. So, and they're making space for theater time.
Right. And, again, it depends on the title. I could have free movies, but you're not going to be there if you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm a victim of my product and or the lack of. And I think, John, you enjoyed Father Stew.
I did. I did enjoy it.
Actually, St. Agnes and Holy Family had a group last night that the church paid for. And I think they pretty much enjoyed the evening. So there's a lot of that. And I'm getting a lot of activity in my Jerseyville theater from schools. I think I'm going to end up with almost 2,000 students from the 1st of April to the end of the school. And, you know, it's a good activity. The kids are all corralled rather than going on a field trip. And it's just a good experience. And it brings a lot of kids in that don't go to the movies. For one reason or another.
This is Jim. How can I help you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to say this isn't really a question.
Hey, how are
Love
you?
That marquee in Jerseyville. Boy, that's a beauty.
Thank you. Yeah. Man. Yeah. That's a, you know, what is it, 71-year-old marquee, brand new.
That's a good thing. And speaking of Jerseyville, I'm going to go back to something we talked about. I guess we started talking about it 2 years ago, and that was the opportunity to really build up that Route 16 corridor from Jerseyville over to Litchfield because of, again, our access to I-55 and the railroad terminal.
It's still in discussion, and it only makes sense to have that main corridor between the two interstates and the two, well, we'll have three industrial parks, but they're going to have a super one there with the offloading of truck, you know, trailers from trains onto trucks. So they'll be driving, they would be driving 16 to access the next interstate north or south. So it only makes sense. And IDOT didn't immediately eliminate the idea. So we're hoping to have further conversation with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Greg first and now, I really enjoyed my interview with Educator of the Year, Jennifer Fleming, Educator of the Year, the new award from the Litchfield Chamber. And to me, it was such an education because my mindset when I thought of teachers, they master a lesson plan and they pay attention to what's going on in the world. But just a brilliant mindset when it comes to relating to today's kids who live in a whole different world than she did growing up, a way different world than, I guess, what we grew up in. And it says a lot about your teachers that they don't just, you know, spoon feed. Okay, kids, here's the curriculum. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. You're going to sink or swim on your own. They really get involved and try to understand things from their perspective.
Well, I think that was, you know, a great honor for Mrs. Fleming to be recognized by the chamber in terms of her teaching ability and her relationship that she has with parents and students. But I think that's what we found in this thing called remote learning, that you need a teacher. And you need that face-to-face interaction. You need to have that take place for good learning to take place. Yeah, you can do it through a screen, but it's that personal touch that happens in a classroom or building that relationship with your students over a period of time. You know, students spend roughly 8 hours a day with us when you actually take a look at how the day breaks down. So they do spend a good deal of time, whether it be at the middle school or the high school where they rotate teachers, or at the elementary with one teacher over a period of time, or special teachers. So, you know, there are people that, you know, continue to value the educators. And, you know, if we're going to continue on as a great country, that we need to support our educators and so that we can meet the needs of our students into the future.
I remember a time or two I spent more than 8 hours when I did something that didn't quite fit the rule book. That ever happened to you in Ramsey?
Yeah, I was the inspiration for the breakfast club.
It was also basketball practice because I always had to run extra afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Missed
brilliant.
The free throw. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Speaking of athletics, the soccer business is pretty exciting. I mean, I see cities just understanding the benefits of amateur sports and leading to hotel stays and spending. I mean, you see what they do in restaurants. It's like all of a sudden, here's a team, and they're like 20 kids, parents, and other, you know, you might see the umpires and everything. I mean, it's a big generator, and that's pretty exciting stuff. And it just seems like soccer keeps growing as, you know, some parents worry about their kids playing American rules football, what have you.
Right. Well, that's what we're excited about. Our new regional soccer park attempt. again, we're trying to get as much money to leverage our tax dollars to get it done. We're being encouraged by the sports representative from Greater Routes and whatever.
Rivers and Routes.
We just contracted them for to do some of our tourism promotion. But they're telling us we need to go a little further than what we planned. We planned grass fields. They say, no, make the effort to get the artificial fields. I don't know if I'd rather get there with grass fields in a year or two than have to put off the artificial trying to raise the money. It's something that we can add to every year if necessary. But we've got notice of two grants so far, and one to acquire the land and the other to put the infrastructure in. And the plan is to have seven soccer fields of various sizes and room for baseball fields and that type of thing. And still areas where commerce will come in, and we have more restaurants and more motels and that kind of thing. But the impact of those tournaments is amazing. And with the fact that St. Louis is going to have a professional club now, is only going to grow the importance of that in the future. So,
well, that Great Rivers and Routes run Corey Job running the show, and you've got a guy, a former state tourism director,
right?
Big shot at Navy Pier for a while. So this isn't exactly someone learning the ropes. There's a guy who's got connections who's going to bring home the bacon, and I know we're trying to get those Route 66 tourism grants that are pretty exciting. And
there, I think there's going to be more coming, Sean, because the 100th birthday of Route 66 is in 2026. I've been appointed to the governor's board to plan those activities, and Corey Job is the chairman. So we'll be working together quite a bit in the next 4 years. And there'll be events and improvements all the way from Chicago all down to the Chain of Rocks Bridge, I guess, is where it goes over. But I've suggested an extension of the bike trail from Litchfield to Mount Olive, and they thought that was a good idea because that would take you from Litchfield all the way into the wine country in Missouri. And there's opportunity for that different tourism and, different activities and events, so. We're just coming up with all kinds of ideas, and we'll accept any ideas from the public. I just want to be sure that the legislature's going to continue to fund the party. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the European folks are coming back little by little, I see.
Yes.
I mean, you occasionally see those plates and hear the Italian accent. It's kind of an exciting thing.
It's
go
fun.
To the museum, you never know, you get a random sample.
Yeah, it's fun to go to the museum and you meet foreigners from everywhere. I remember a few years ago there were some Swedish guys, about six of them, that rented Harleys in Chicago with the intent to drive all the way and drop them off in Los Angeles or San Francisco. And that was their vacation. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Oh, it would.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll get a third week vacation, maybe, and make that Route 66 run myself. I'd like to. I've been wanting to.
Oh, it's the best. I have to think the, these monuments are talking about, linking everything together, and you drive around, I have to think Litchfield's about as well-preserved, because it's not only well-preserved, but functional. It's not just some closed business. It has an old marquee out front.
Well, what's unique about Litchfield is we have two original routes running through our community. I don't know if there's another community that has two running right through the middle. Could be, but, you know, we take advantage of the old route as well as the four lane, which turns into two lanes very soon south of us. But that's why I'm saying that bike route could go on the other lane that's abandoned. But there are some issues with that because it being historical, it has to be returned to originality, which means concrete. And that's pretty prohibitive at this point.
I think
Dr. Firstenow can talk further about concrete costs.
Get an adjustment weekly is... along that, we got about 7 or 8 minutes left here. I'd like to have each of you have a little bit more time. Dr. First, now I'd like to ask you, in the next, as you said, in the next few days, certainly in the next few weeks, where the people driving by are going to see some incredible movement on activity and construction. Anything they need to watch for or anything they need to be aware of?
You know, it's just traffic, you know, when they come in, but when they see a crane arrive, they will start on the west end of the project first and then work their way through, and the crane will be on the inside, so they'll be setting from the inside up.
Okay.
And the trucks will be on the street while they unload them. They unload each panel by itself, and then they take the panels, and there's plates in the footings themselves, and then they'll weld to the foundation itself and the wall. So there'll be quite a few workers there. There'll be the concrete workers and the iron workers will be there to deal with that situation. But that'll be towards the end of May. The walls are supposed to arrive May 23rd. And they'll continue to progress setting footings and that. They really should start to take off on the actual classroom footings. The storm shelter footings were 7 feet. That's required. 7-foot footings. I've never seen footings that thick to where they poured a mat underneath of it and then they poured footings on top of that. And it's the facility itself with the roof in that. The storm shelter on paper says it'll withstand 255 mile an hour winds. So I think if that were to come through our community, that might be the only thing that remains, depending upon where it is. So, but just, you know, do your due diligence. You know, in a couple weeks, school's out too, so be looking for kids. Just pay attention when you drive by. We have quite a few people drive by and take pictures and continue to monitor the progress.
And cast concrete goes up very quickly compared uh-huh. to the other way. So
yes.
That'll be interesting.
It does. Yeah. Yep.
And then after that will be an educational attempt to show people how to navigate the area. The council did approve improvements of Sergeant Street
yes.
there to the south. And finishing East St. John's.
Yep.
So there'll be new streets, but just for safety purposes, I think we're probably going to restrict parking on Jefferson and Sergeant Street to make sure that there are no kids running across mm-hmm. the traffic
yeah.
With people parking there. And we do want to make sure that on Sergeant Street where the buses come in that there's easy access for them. So we'll all get used to it, but and never remember a day without it, probably. But it's going to take an education.
Well, I imagine one big thing and exciting thing links all three of you together. They're making a splash. They said they were starting, I believe, this week and working toward installation in that CTI. Big deal that's obviously going to be a game changer here.
Yes, they gave us a listing of their needs. They needed a place to store their materials and a place to dump the sludge. And we were able to cooperate with them on that. And also, they also gave us a phase plan. I think they'll be starting around the hospital first.
They already have, yeah. They
yeah.
started Monday
yeah.
at
yeah.
the hub that they have yeah. to put in. Happens to the area it has to fall in, the pole is on our property, so we have already leased the space to them. They're installing it right now.
And from what I understand, they'll have an initial price that won't change.
That's what we were told.
That's what we were told.
Yeah, $69.99 for life.
Yeah,
is their offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not for the whole hospital. Just
no,
that's
but
for people at home.
Citizens, yeah.
Don't worry. It's a lot more than that for us.
Well, I have to think that's great for medicine, too, because I've seen, like, some of this telemedicine. You actually go to the hospital, and a specialist from who knows where has got the whole robot thing, so the doctor can look down with a robot at you and tilt around and everything. And I imagine a strong, real-time cable connection is everything.
Oh, absolutely. And the what we find that we'll need the stronger internet for is the all of our visitors and our patients use their cell phones. It used to be a patient would use the phone in the room, you know, to call. They don't even notice that there is a phone in the room anymore. Everyone has their cell phone on, their Wi-Fi going. Mm-hmm. And so being able to boost that Wi-Fi up throughout the whole campus and directly outside as well, while people are outside walking around waiting to pick someone up, is going to be really important in the future. So we're excited to see that happen.
That's for sure. Guys, we've got 1 minute. Who wants to fill up the next last minute or so?
You know, I think there's one thing that we end our show, we typically end with, you know, there are great things, and that we appreciate you guys, John and Sean, for having us on so that we can talk about all of the good things. I think sometimes people focus on the negativity, right? Mm-hmm. But there are great things going on in our community. And, you know, once again, I don't want to speak for my three compadres here, but, you know, if you have questions, call.
Absolutely.
Or to ask questions and get the right answer.
You mean the experts on Facebook?
Well, we're on Facebook. We want. Don't worry, Steve. We monitor Facebook all the time. Yeah. You'll see the new posts.
You know, we do have a lot of great things going on with our community and within our organizations. And, you know, we just need to be thankful and positive for the things that we're able to do.
I can tell you, as someone who's lived in Chicago, the Chicago suburbs, Springfield, and now in Litchfield, there's nowhere else I'd rather live than Litchfield. It has everything all those other places have, but at lower cost, less people, no traffic, and just terrific attitudes. So it's, you can't find a better place to live.
I just want to give a shout-out to Mark Brown for his years of service, and upon his resignation, and I'm going to be presenting Dan Newkirk as his replacement tomorrow night.
Okay.
So we'll be at full strength again.
All right. Again, gentlemen, thank you.
You're welcome
to sit here and visit like you always do with my ass.
Yeah, well, you know, not that this isn't, you know, bad ambiance, John, but, you know, when it's outside, we have the breeze and the sunshine. And we get a visit from the dog periodically, you know. And the kitty, too, right? So
we'll have fun. We'll be out there this next time.
All right.
We'll be outside in about 2 more weeks.
Yeah, that could be the new grade school mascot there, based out of your house. The Litchfield Fighting Woodbees.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, at least we get away from the Woodbees under the carport. All right, thank you very much, guys. This has been a fun thing. It'll be up as a podcast on the website here in the next day or two.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Sounds awesome. Thanks, John.